Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. In a moment, we're going to talk about a talk show host on another station in Denver who had resigned in disgrace after Hurricane Katrina. He was the director of FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, while Michael Brown had been appointed by George W. Bush. And then after the Katrina fiasco, he resigned. And now he's on the radio in Denver. And I bring him up because there's something far more disgraceful that he only is representative of. But I heard this on his program just in the last few days regarding Christopher Dorner, the murderer, the anti-LAPD murderer who killed four people, wounded four other police officers. Two of the dead were police officers, and just a virtual wicked murderer. You know, we could talk about mental illness, but primarily this is sin and obsession with self and a hatred of God and wickedness. And the reason I'm bringing up Michael Brown is because he is guilty of something that almost every conservative I know who's spoken publicly on the issue of guns and the right to be armed, to keep and bear arms, to keep and carry arms wherever you go, this U.S. Supreme Court once put in a majority ruling that this is the right that we have. This is a God-given right that we should be able to defend ourselves. What Michael Brown has said repeatedly, and one of his callers actually applied to Christopher Dorner, and I was so disgusted with the caller and then utterly shocked when Michael Brown, when he did not reprimand the caller, but basically, I don't know, supported the caller in asking the question, was this: conservatives say that the reason we have the right to own guns is because if the government is tyrannical, if the government is corrupt, we need our guns so that we could kill governing officials. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that constantly for the past 30 years that I've been involved in public policy issues. Constantly. And that's what they say. They say, in fact, Michael Brown just said it, and so many others say it. They say, don't tell me about hunting. I don't want to hear about hunting. Thomas Jefferson, our founders said that these guns are for us to defend ourselves against the government. And this is dangerous. And this is wrong. It's unbiblical. And so we need to think through what is actually the proper use of weapons and what are the principles by which we know that we have the right to be armed, and what is wrong with conservative Christians and other secular conservatives, whatever that is, libertarians, saying we need our guns to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government. And if that's true, well, is the government tyrannical today or not? I mean, there are millions of conservatives who would say yes, it's tyrannical. So what? Therefore, then, if the Declaration of Independence, if you believe in the things stated in there, which a lot of it is destructive of truth and justice and principles of governance, because it was written by who? Thomas Jefferson, who was at best a deist. He rejected Jesus Christ. He rejected the authority of the scriptures. He liked France's Revolution, which was a bloody, socialist, murderous, bathed in blood revolution. And he wanted to fan the flames of it. And he thought, you know, if the government is corrupt, then we need guns so we could kill the governing leaders and overthrow them with our guns. And this is all false. It's false. So I'm upset with Michael Brown, because although this is an issue we've talked about on the show on and off occasionally for 22 years, and I've warned all along about the use of that kind of argument in support of those who would then go ahead and kill governing officials like police officers because they have an axe to grind. And now it comes to fruition on Michael Brown's radio program. But just before we get into that further, the Colorado Senate has voted to approve homosexual marriage. They don't call it homosexual marriage. A stench like that by any other name is still homosexual marriage. Doesn't matter what they call it. Didn't Shakespeare write that? A stench like that by any other name is still homo marriage. And so the Republicans opposing it, you know, some of them are courageous, some of them are just politicians, but we've pointed this out for some years now regarding their opposition to bills that would promote homosexuality. They make all these procedural objections. Remember in 2012, they said last year, the Republicans said, well, there's not enough time to evaluate this bill. That's why at the end of the session, when they killed it and the Democrats had held on to it for months and they introduced it with a couple weeks to go, and the Republicans, there's not enough time to evaluate this bill. And now, today, the Republicans argued that if this bill, which now the Colorado State House, when they pass it, and then Governor John Hickenlooper, the guy that drinks that geology fluid stuff was in the news. He said he would sign it. So the Republicans are arguing that it would result in costly legal challenges. Now, that's a principled opposition, right? It's going to cost a lot when we have to take this to court. So the actual rebuttal to the promotion of homosexuality is that homosexuality is wrong. It is wrong, it's perverse, it's destructive. But what happens is we get obsessed with politics, we want to play partisan politics, and we think, well, if you speak bluntly, then you're not going to be popular. So the conservative Christian community ends up gagging itself. Forget about the gag rule. It ends up gagging itself. Gags me, too. And so the arguments are always duplicitous. The arguments are always, what, if we had a little bit more time, then we'd promote homosexual marriage. There's not enough time to evaluate it. If we were sure it wouldn't cost anything, then we'd support homosexual marriage, and on and on. I remember Dr. James Dobson was on Fox News Channel with Sean Hannity, and his argument was, they said, well, why shouldn't we have homosexual marriage? And he said, well, because the dictionary says that marriage is between a man and a woman, because the dictionary says it. I mean, the liberals have been changing the dictionary for many decades. So that could be easily changed. And I remember, and speaking of Dr. Dobson, a man I love, but am so sad about what has become the ultimate impact of his life and public ministry, which, as he said, it's been a failure on every front. And the reason is because of their constant compromise on every moral issue, everything from pornography to child killing to homosexuality. Now, Focus on the Family has been saying for some time now, hey, look, the fight against homosexual marriage, we're going to lose that. So even they were saying that after we won, what, 30 statewide votes in a row, without losing one, including in California, and Focus on the Family saying, look, you know, we're going to lose that, so let's look elsewhere for the battles we're going to fight. And so Dr. Dobson was talking about the attempt to kill. You remember in Florida, the attempt to kill Terri Schiavo. Remember in Florida, the effort that eventually was successful to starve to death to kill Terri Schiavo. And Dr. Dobson when, again, on Fox News Channel, where he feels comfortable. And he said, you know, the problem here is that there was no advanced written directive. There was no written directive. And Focus on the Family and National Right to Life, they all went ballistic. They went nuts. And they started advocating a perverse law where the federal government would actually support, for the first time in federal law, euthanasia, as long as the person put in writing that they wanted to be starved to death. And Dr. Dobson said, well, we need to try to protect Terry Schindler Schiavo, because there was no written directive. And people over the next week, there was such an outcry over the next 2 days saying, what is Focus on the Family is going crazy. What are they saying? If they're going to support euthanasia as long as there's a written directive? And National Right to Life introduced, and they were lobbying to pass a bill that would recognize the right to euthanize someone in the states, in this country, as long as there's a written directive. We asked, and all the talking heads, all of them, from Hugh Hewitt and Michael Medved and Dennis Prager, in fact, they even got together and supported this idea. And they said, you know, if Terry Schiavo wanted to kill herself, then she should be allowed. We need a written directive. And they talked about, well, what would be the qualifications? You know, who would qualify to being euthanized by being starved to death? And they said, well, you know, if you're a quadriplegic, obviously that would qualify. And they were just making it up as they go along, who should have the right to kill themselves. And this is the depraved state of what passes for conservative, pro-life, pro-family leadership in America. And so I was thankful with the outcry that we helped to raise here at Bob and Yurt Live and a handful of others that Dr. Dobson retracted his statement. It's one of the few times we got Focus on the Family to retract the statement and to clarify that they are against euthanasia, even if there was a written directive. But not National Right to Life. No, they fought for their legislation. And you could read all about this on our website at kgov.com. Just search for Terry Schiavo, and you'll find the whole ugly history. And I had Terry's brother on the show, Bobby Schindler, and we discussed this, and he acknowledged how tragic it was that the pro-life movement went in that direction. We have a DVD called the Terry Schiavo Debrief, where we present the whole case. And it includes the interview with Bobby Schindler and just and the nurse who was with Terry Schiavo, and just an extraordinary. And it lays out the case against Dennis Prager, Michael Medved, and Hugh Hewitt and National Right to Life. And so this is the battle that we're fighting. So the Republicans in Colorado, they're just part of it, right? They're just part of it. And People excited about Rand Paul saying he may be the first libertarian to be nominated for president on the Republican Party ticket. And libertarians are what? They're immoral quasi-conservatives. They're immoral conservatives. They want to decriminalize every kind of sexual perversion and child killing, let the states decide. You don't have a God-given right to life. If the state of California wants to kill you and you're sucking your thumb, playing with your toes, you're in your mother's womb, then states' rights. That's what they say. And on and on and on. So the Colorado Republicans who are fighting this homosexual marriage, it's just part of the whole disaster that we're in, because our leaders for decades now have been ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they compromise. And they compromised on everything. I mean, virtually everything, except for tithing. That's the only thing they've never compromised on. You got to give 10% to your church. And so we have, oh, by the way, last night's State of the Union address, went home, said to my family, guys, it's a big, you know, very important night for the nation. This is when President Barack Obama gives his State of the Union address. It's on all the news channels. And so as a family, we have to decide, are we going to watch the State of the Union address or an episode of F Troop? And that Corporal Agarn, he is so funny. He's just hysterical. And Sergeant O'Rourke. So we watched F Troop. And this morning, just, you know, you save yourself an hour, and in 3 minutes you find out that the President of the United States promoted his socialism and his godlessness and his perversion, and that the Republicans are, for the most part, impotent to stop him, to stand in the way. So when you don't stand on principle and you don't trust God, then you shouldn't be confused when you lose. If you don't stand on principle and you don't trust God, and then fight with everything you have, of course, then you shouldn't be confused when you lose. All right, so now back to Michael Brown on KHOW Radio. Guy calls in, I think it was on Friday, and Michael Brown's show is on for a few hours, so even though I start at the same time he's on, I mean, when I'm driving home, I could turn on his show and listen to it now and then. And a caller called in and said, now, wait a minute, I don't know that we all have to condemn this Christopher Dorner, because, Michael, don't you say that the reason that we own arms, that we own guns, is not for hunting, but it's to defend ourselves against a tyrannical government? And this is in the context of this murderer. And Michael Brown said, well, that's true, and you are raising a good point. And then they went on to talk. But just right there, just taking it right there. And this caller said, when is enough enough? When is enough of the tyrannical governing authorities? When does it then justify us using our guns to go kill the governing authorities? And Michael Brown himself is impotent to be able to correct that caller and to answer that, because he's got the conservative disease. The conservative disease, when you take a left winger like Thomas Jefferson, you pretend that he's a conservative, principled expert on governmental policy, and you look not to God for your fundamental principles of right and wrong, but you look to, what, a snapshot of human ideals? Just a snapshot of human ideals? And we got the U.S. Constitution. And in one of the quickest paths to destruction in history for a new nation, we virtually destroyed ourselves. And the Constitution says, you know, that you can give authority. The people get together and they get their representatives, and it's you vote, and those people who you vote in, they get to change the laws. They even get to change the Constitution if they follow the process. And so if the majority want to steal from their neighbors, then your government, by the Constitution, your government is going to end up being socialist. And if the majority want to fornicate and commit adultery, then the country, the government's going to decriminalize adultery. And if the majority want to make pornography a multi-billion-dollar industry, then pornography is going to be decriminalized. And if the majority want to kill their children, then it's going to be legal to commit murder and kill your children. So this is all what's going on. And when we deal with something like the right to self-defense, the right to own weapons, we have conservatives, one after another, a parade of thoughtless conservatives for 30 years that I've been observing it. And they say, well, we need our guns to defend so that the people could defend themselves against a tyrannical government. That's why we need our guns. And so if this were true, and we write about this, we have a vigilante worksheet that is online, and it happens to be at AmericanRightToLife.org/vigilante. And it's a worksheet, and you go through it so that you could understand the principles of justice, the principles of governance, the principles of self-defense, so you can figure out, you know, when is it right to use lethal force? And if you have a government that is unjust, immoral, wicked, that doesn't mean that you have the right to take your gun and to go start killing governing officials like Christopher Dorner has just done, because he thought the government was tyrannical. And so what? Who's going to decide whether or not the government is tyrannical? Who decides that? Whether or not the government is murderous? Who decides that? I mean, the Roman Empire, you think they were tyrannical? Yeah, they were tyrannical. The Roman Empire was a murderous regime. And yet, within the context of being able to obey the government, because the Bible says we must obey God rather than man, but within the context, if the government said, we want you to go kill those innocent people, then you refuse, because you must obey God rather than man. But within the context of the ability to obey the Roman Empire, within that context, when they're not telling you to do something that is inherently immoral, then what are you to do? You're to obey them, even if you live in a country where the government is unjust. Now, let me ask you a question. What percentage of human beings live in countries where the government is unjust? Right now, today, what percentage? About, I mean, at first pass, for a first approximation, it's about all of them. It's about 100%. I mean, close to it. And over history, over the last thousands of years, what percentage of human beings have lived in countries or under governments where the government was unjust? What percentage? And it comes awfully close to all of them. So if people are going to argue that the reason we have our guns is to defend ourselves against the government, that when the government becomes tyrannical, it is the right of the people to rise up in a revolution and overthrow that government, as Thomas Jefferson put in the Declaration of Independence, he was wrong. Well, then that is a recipe for anarchy. And so Michael Brown, instead of utterly condemning this caller, who was, in a sense, asking, shouldn't we defend Christopher Dorner? You know how a lot of people in the media are freaking out that on Twitter you have some number of people who hate the cops and they're praising Christopher Dorner, they were cheering for him? And you know how sick that is, and of course that's sick, right? But that's the expected sick. I'm talking about the conservative, quasi-conservative, whatever that even means, Michael Browns of the world. And all those many conservative Christians who have said we need our guns in order to protect the people from a tyrannical government. That's why we need our guns. Okay, so now if that's true, what you're saying is that individuals can decide when is the government tyrannical and they could start shooting our governing leaders. That's what you're saying. And that is immoral. That's wrong. You have the right to be armed for self-defense, not to change public policy, not to change foreign policy. Individuals who use lethal force to change public policy are called terrorists. That's what a terrorist is. By the way, that's something else that the media generally can't comprehend. They don't know the difference between a murderer and a terrorist. So if you attempt to use lethal force to change public policy, like you think the government is tyrannical, you're going to take your gun and start picking them off, then you're a terrorist, and it doesn't even matter if the governing leaders are evil. It doesn't even matter if they're tyrannical or murderous. And so at AmericanRightToLife.org/vigilante, you can go through. We've done this on the air. We've gone through much of this worksheet that's there to help people understand what the principles are, the biblical principles, the principles of justice that help you understand. And we have the right to be armed. But, you know, at what level? I hear conservatives struggling with trying to decide, you know, what do you have the right to own? Bazookas? RPGs? Rocket-propelled grenades? Surface-to-air missiles? What? Where? How do you draw the line? And the way you draw the line is that the weapons that our God-given right to self-defense would incorporate would be weapons that would hit targets within a person's immediate vicinity, targets within sight, weapons that would kill an aggressor coming at me, but not, for example, to destroy property. Like, I as an individual don't have a God-given right to own bombs and rockets, hellfire missiles, grenades. I don't have that right to have weapons that would blow up buildings, for example. I do have the right to have weapons that can only be directed at aggressive targets, individual targets, not weapons that would kill randomly. These principles flow very logically, rationally, from the principles in Scripture. Remember that the Bible says that when Israel was being occupied by an unjust government, there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords or spears. So, of course, we have the right to keep and carry arms. And as the U.S. Supreme Court wrote in a majority ruling written by the Chief Justice, that right includes our right to keep and carry arms wherever we go as individual citizens. By the way, that's something else that conservative pro-gun rights talk show hosts don't know. They think the U.S. Supreme Court has never stated in a majority ruling that the Second Amendment right applies to each individual to keep and carry arms. And the Supreme Court has ruled that, of course. But you learn all about that when you check out our websites, kgov.com. Check out American Right to Life. May God bless you.